Orville Freestone Jr., Sunday PM, April 4th, 2010.
Turn in your Bibles to the 121st Psalm, the second in our series of 15 Psalms of the Songs of Ascents, or as in some Bibles, a Song of Degrees. Last month, we read the 120th Psalm, which was the first in this series of Psalms in the book of Psalms. And we saw that it was a sad song. It was a song of an exile in a far country, perhaps in the tents of Kedar, perhaps in the land of Meshech, but he was far from the national homeland of the Jews, and he was troubled. There were lies and slanders, and he says, I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. And that's been the condition of Israel for 2,500 years. But during that time of the Second Temple, between the time of Ezra and Christ, they made pilgrimages to Jerusalem, and they sang songs on the way. And this 121st Psalm is the Song of the Traveler. So let's read it together first. Excuse me. I lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your helper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. As we observed, the previous psalm was the psalm of an exile in a far country. But this exile has decided to go on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, to the temple, and for some of them the journey was long, for some of them it was not so long, it was just the other end of their country. But for some of them the distance was through many countries. It was an arduous journey and a dangerous journey. So this is the psalm of the traveler coming from a distance to worship in Jerusalem. These 15 psalms are titled in our English Bible as Song of Ascents or Song of Degrees. All that is excepting one, the present one. The title is the same in our English Bibles, but in the Hebrew Bibles, it is different. And the difference is a single Hebrew letter, which makes it to read a song for ascents rather than a song of ascents. It is a psalm for going up, for the pilgrim is preparing to go up to Jerusalem. No matter which direction you come to Jerusalem, you go up. And some of the ascents are more difficult than others. And so this psalm is to be sung on the ascent to Jerusalem, whether by a single traveler or, as was usual, by a group or even a crowd. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. He has come in view of the Judean hills. Most of the pilgrims came by way of the ancient King's Highway, which ran from Damascus down through along the west eastern shore of the Jordan River and crossed over into the land of Israel at Jericho. This is the way Jesus came, when he came with his parents and when he came with his disciples. And to stand there at Jericho and look toward Jerusalem, you really have to look up. To compare the Jericho road from Jericho to Jerusalem to I-70, I-70 in Denver, from Denver, to the tunnel rises about 6,000 feet in less than 60 miles. The Jericho Road rises nearly 4,000 feet in about 20 miles. So it is a steep ascent. It's through a gigantic wash coming down from Jerusalem, the water washing down from the hills. That is, the Arabs would call it a wadi, a dry stream bed. But it is pretty vertical for a drainage. So standing there at Jericho, you truly had to look up as you went up toward Jerusalem. And I lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. For 500 years, ever since the Protestant Reformation, scholars have debated whether this is a statement or a question. The problem is that ancient Hebrew and all of the manuscripts had no punctuation marks. And the Hebrew word could be either an interrogative or it could be an adverb. It seems that most of the modern translations, ever since Tischendorf's time and the revised version of 1900, make it into a question, which makes sense, but I think it makes more sense to consider it as a statement, because it is not two statements, verses 1 and 2, it is one statement. I lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who dwells in that temple on Mount Zion. He's lifting up his eyes unto the hills, and as he ascends to the top, he will see Mount Zion. In the 27th chapter of Isaiah, we find an interesting statement about Mount Zion. In Isaiah 27:13, where we read, concerning a time as yet future, in that day a great trumpet will be blown, and those who were lost in the land of Assyria and those who were driven out to the land of Egypt will come and worship the Lord on the holy mountain at Jerusalem. And in the third psalm, we read, Psalm 3:3, but you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. And in Psalm 68, we read, beginning with verse 15, O mountain of God, mountain of Bashan, many-peaked mountain, mountain of Bashan, why do you look with hatred on the many-peaked mountain at the mount of God that God desired for his abode? Yes, where the Lord will dwell forever. The mountain of Bashan was a range of mountains to the northeast of Israel. It was the land where the half-tribe of where Ephraim dwelt, and it was where Jacob and Laban signed a covenant. He here is poetically describing the disdain of perhaps the northern tribes, perhaps the other Semitic peoples there have towards Mount Zion, which he calls the mount that God desired for his abode, yes, where the Lord will dwell forever. And in the 43rd Psalm, David says, Psalm 43:3, Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill, to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to the God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. I don't think it's possible for us to even conceive in our minds the emotion that the Jews have for that mountain. When I saw those Jews worshiping at the Wailing Wall, it was heartbreaking to me. And when I saw from the Mount of Olives, looking down over Jerusalem and the Temple Mount and that beautiful shrine of the Muslims, I could understand something of their emotion toward it and of that anti-God shrine sitting where the temple once stood. So, to the Jews, Jerusalem was the place of worship. It was a place where Moses told them that God would choose a place sometime in the future to him to put his name, and there they should go three times in the year to offer sacrifices and to worship according to the covenant of the law. But when the Jews were dispersed abroad throughout so many nations of the world, as which we can read the pilgrims from those countries in the second chapter of the Acts, due to distance and to economic necessity, they couldn't come three times in a year. But as often as they could, they would come to this mountain of God, to where he had said he would place his name, but no image. So in 1 Kings 8:30, we read the prayer of Solomon. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you. How much less this house that I have built? Yet have regard unto the prayer of your servant and to his plea, O Lord my God. listening to the cry and to the prayer of your servant, that your servant prays before you this day, that your eyes may be open and night and day toward this house, the place which you have said, my name shall be there, that you may listen to the prayer of your servant offers toward this place, and listen to the plea of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place, and listen in heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. So this was the hills that our psalmist was looking toward. They could not worship according to the law of Moses in foreign lands. They could and did build synagogues and prayer houses where they could sing the Psalms of Zion, and they could read the law and the prophets, but they could not worship according to Moses' law, because only in Jerusalem could the sacrifices be offered. Only in Jerusalem could they appear before God as he had commanded them in the law of Moses. So now he has lifted up his eyes toward the hills. He has prayed for help along the way. And he realizes that his help comes not from the temple, but from the God who dwells there, the God of heaven and earth. And he receives assurance from the Lord for safety along his journey and for Godspeed. He will not let your foot be moved, even on that steep climb along that winding road from Jericho to Jerusalem. He will not let your foot be moved. Remember, in those days, they traveled on foot. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. They spent many days on those journeys to Jerusalem, camping out at night, or if it was during the warm weather, which it probably was at Passover and Pentecost and Tabernacles, they would, as Arabs do today, they would travel part of the night and sleep part of the night. Then they would travel the more early part of the day and then sleep the later part of the day, camping along the way. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. God will keep the individual traveler. He will keep the nation. This word keep carries with it in Hebrew the same as it does in English, to guard, to cherish, to protect. The Lord is your keeper. Remember that. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. In that land, shade is always welcome. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. You will neither be sunstroke nor lunatic, which is the Latin word for moonstruck. He'll guard them by day from the heat. He will guard them by night from the unexpected raid of marauders or bandits. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. You will arrive alive. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in, what we call today traveling mercies. From this time forth and forevermore, even beyond this pilgrimage. Luther pointed out, and Spurgeon mentioned, that this psalm of degrees, this gradual psalm, one of those psalms of gradation, shows a gradation in the psalm itself, beginning with the pilgrim apprehensive about traveling this Jericho road, which, as Jesus' story shows, was not a safe road to travel. You remember the story of the man who went down from Jerusalem to Jericho? If you go down from Jerusalem to Jericho, you go down. And there are places where bandits could hide and leap out at you when you're least expecting it. And he has received assurance here of help, and that this gradation is expressed in the two key words in this psalm: to help and to keep, to aid and to protect. And he will keep your foot. He will not let it be moved. He will keep you on the way. He does not slumber. He will keep Israel, all who are coming to worship, for he neither slumbers nor sleeps. You may slumber in the daytime before you travel. You may slumber in the evening after you camp for the night, but your God doesn't. Remember, that was one of the taunts of Elijah toward the worshipers of Baal. When they were cutting themselves and offering their sacrifice, he says, perhaps Baal is asleep and you need to wake him. Cry louder. So the Lord will keep you on the way, for he is your shade in that blistering noonday sun. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. Another great step up. He will keep your life. Another step up. His assurance of your security, your going out and your coming in from this time forth. Most of the English versions use the word preserve on these last two keeps, because we in English have many synonyms. In an unabridged dictionary, there are well over a million words. We have many synonyms. Hebrew's not like that. I read that if you could learn 800 Hebrew words, you could do a pretty good job of reading the Hebrew Bible if you knew the grammar. If you knew 3,000 Hebrew words, you could get around in Israel pretty well. They do not have even a fraction of the number of words in their language that we do. they don't mind using them over and over for emphasis. And that's what the psalmist did here. He will keep you. He will keep you. He will keep you. Ever more stating how God would protect his people, how he would preserve them. For the King James and other versions are very accurate in translating it as preserve, because that also is what the word means. So this is the psalm of the traveler going from a far land to Jerusalem. For 500 years, this is what they did. And for 2,000 years, they have not been able to do so until our own time. So that's its place in the Old Testament. But what does it mean to us? Well, this whole series of psalms, I think you'll see as we go along, describe a pilgrimage of the heart. Very often descriptive of our experiences today. Have you ever felt like you were in a strange land? Have you ever felt like you were far from God? Have you ever felt like you wanted to experience again that flush of joy when you were first saved or filled with the Spirit? We have a pilgrimage of the heart that we can at any time take. And the Lord will keep us in all of our dangers and troubles today, whether they are physical, whether they are emotional, or whatever. But one of the key points of this psalm and one of the key points for us is to look up. I have a tendency when I'm walking to walk along like this and look down. Winita one asked me, what am I looking for, pennies? She says, look up, look around. I did find 2 pennies the other day and I put them in the car. But let us develop the habit of spiritually looking up. Again, I remember those wisdom words of Brother C.E. Foster's. When the outlook is dark, the uplook is bright. So look up from where you know your help comes. And you know your keeper is with you. He said he would always be with you. So these 2 key words, helper and keeper, we find in the New Testament too for our edification. In Hebrews 13 and 6, we read, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we can confidently say, as David said in his Psalms, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What man can do unto me? Here again we come to that. Is that a statement or is that a question? The Hebrew manuscripts don't tell us because they didn't have punctuation point marks. But we can take it either way. We cannot fear. What can man do to me? As a challenge. Or we can take it as a question. I will not fear, for what can man do unto me? Then in Philippians 4 and 7, we read, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts, or keep your hearts, keep or guard either one, your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And in our pilgrimage of the heart, we too have a goal. In Hebrews 12 and 22, we read, "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn ones who are enrolled in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, to the sprinkling of blood that speaks of better things than that of the blood of Abel." Here in Hebrews, it is speaking of our heavenly Jerusalem as our goal, which we have very much realized already. And yet there is a future to it. There is that beautiful Southern gospel song, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through." Do you believe that? Do you feel that? Do you feel that when things get tough on earth? Do you feel that when you get engrossed with the things of this life that we're just a passing through? One of the chief differences between the Old Covenant worship and the New Covenant worship is they had a particular place where they had to go to fully worship God. They could worship Him in a sense anywhere in a synagogue, but it was in Jerusalem where they were commanded to go. But for us, we worship anywhere. We worship everywhere. We worship alone. And we worship best in company. How wonderful it is to have this knowledge of the new covenant. However, we do have a heavenly Jerusalem that we look forward to. And we read about it. "Then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues and spoke to me, saying, 'Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb.' And he carried me away in spirit to a great high mountain, and he showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east gate, on the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And one spoke with me, and the one who spoke with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city and its gates and its walls, the city that lies four square, its length the same as its width. And he measured the city 12,000 stadia in length, and width and height are equal. And he measured the wall 144 cubits by human measurement, which also the angel's measurement. And the wall was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold, clear glass, and the foundation of the wall of the city was adorned with every kind of jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, and the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold. We sing a song sometime, where the gates swing outward never, but that isn't really scriptural. For this city, the gates swing outward ever, for all who will to enter. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city had no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives light it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. And by its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. And they shall bring into it the glory and honor of the nations. But nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is our Jerusalem. This was the city for which Abraham looked forward. For he looked for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. This is our home. We have dual citizenship. There are some people who have dual citizenship between the United States and Israel. We have dual citizenship between the United States and the New Jerusalem. So think about that when you become disgusted or despairing or frustrated. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. And the time is short.